You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Well, you know, I thought I might teach a little bit on Christmas. Being that time of year, you know, thought it might be a good thing to do that. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew, the first chapter. I hope that we all understand, obviously, as Christians, we know who we're celebrating. I think that's pretty obvious. We're celebrating Jesus, you know, and his birth. This time of year, I mean, that's who Christmas is all about. And there's no question about that. We're not celebrating children, although we hear that Christmas is about children. Well, you know, there's the wonder of Christmas that children enjoy, and I'm all about that. I'm all about decorating. I'm all about giving gifts. And Christmas is really not about Santa. That's a late coming thing, Santa, you know. Santa does represent the things that are good, and, you know, and he does help children based on actually a Catholic saint, St. Nicholas, you know, that was the saint of children. But that's really not what Christmas is about. In fact, if you really want to know the truth, the guy's got the list, checking it twice and seeing who's naughty or nice and not Santa. The guy that knows when you're sleeping, knows when you're awake, well, actually, that is not Santa. And the guy that we're looking to come through the sky one day, his name is Jesus, if you don't know the truth. But I understand the traditions, and I understand the cultures that, you know, that we all throw in, and the tree, you know, the tree really, you know, we can use it to preach the gospel, and that's good. We have trees too. But Christmas is about Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. We give gifts, and we get around, and we eat way too much, and, you know, we do all the things we're not supposed to do. But wouldn't it be terrible to have a birthday party for somebody and not invite them?
That's right.
I mean, it's their birthday party. You know, it's like saying, Glenn, we're going to have a birthday party for you. You're not invited. Okay? But we're going to have a shindig. I mean, we're going to have a blowout birthday party. But never mention him and never have him come. You know, that would be kind of crazy. So this time of year, let's remember that in all of our celebration and all of our ceremony, as it were, and all of our, you know, partying and getting together, and I am for that. Don't warn another here and say I'm not. I am for it. Let's remember who this is about. Amen. But I'd like to go another step too and talk about today, not just who it's about, but what it's about. I mean, why? Okay, Jesus. He's what it's about. He's who it's about. But why Jesus? I mean, this time of year we celebrate his birth. We celebrate. What does that mean? What is that? You know, we celebrate birthdays. Famous people and politicians and presidents and civil rights activists and so on and so forth for something they represent, something they do. You know, we have President's Day. It's the founders of our country, and Martin Luther King, you know, is about the civil rights movement and something that's connected, an event, something that took place. Well, it's not just his birth that we're celebrating. It's what it meant. Are you with me? I mean, when we talk about Jesus in his manger, we're not talking about just anybody in that manger. We're not talking about just another great man that was born in a manger. In fact, I mentioned this in class, and I mentioned it before. Actually, if we're not careful, we have our nativity scenes, and we got bunches of them. I got them all over the house, and you know, we'll put up banners, Happy Birthday, Jesus. And when we do that, we do need to go beyond that and understand that we're not celebrating necessarily a babe in a manger. And we're not celebrating just a sinless man that walked the earth. Or we're not celebrating just a teacher, greatest teacher ever was, no question. And we're not celebrating somebody who just died on the cross. We're celebrating someone who conquered hell, death, and the grave. And arose victorious with the keys of hell and death in his hand. And saved us from our sins. We're celebrating not a weak child. That was just a process. That was a start of a promise that God made. But he came with the intent of dying for your sins. We're celebrating a warrior, a conqueror, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, Jesus. And we're going to heaven because of what started that day on that wintry night or that whenever that day was, 2,000 years ago. Amen? Okay, with that in mind, Matthew, first chapter. Let's look at it and see what the biblical terminology is and what the Bible says about this, with this in mind. What God says about this event or about this Jesus that we're talking about. I've talked about his uniqueness before, and You know, he does stand alone. He's not a Buddha. He's not a Muhammad. He's not a Moses, a Jeremiah, Ezekiel, or a Daniel. No. Jesus doesn't fall in that class or category. Jesus didn't come to show us a way. He didn't come to teach us. He didn't come to guide us. He did all that, but he came to die for our sins. He came to save us from our sins. This is something we need to understand. Muhammad didn't save anybody. Moses didn't save anybody. Buddha didn't save anybody. And it won't be Buddha on that throne. It won't be Confucius, and it won't be Hare Krishna calling you home. Are you with me? Jesus is not just a religious leader. He's not just a good guy. He's not just a great teacher. He's not just a holy man. He's not just another prophet. Jesus is the Savior of the world. And we didn't need another prophet, and we didn't need another guide, and we didn't need another teacher, and we didn't need another example. We got lots of them out there, and some of them are good, and some of them are not so good. But we needed a Savior to save us from our sins. Hallelujah. Excuse me for getting excited. But Christmas means something. Yes. Are you with me? Yes. It's not just about someone, it's about something. Yes. Yeah. It's not just about Jesus, it's about what he did and what he represents. Notice in Matthew 1, verse 18, you found it? Yeah. Man, I'm so excited I wore my red tie today. Matthew 1, 18 says this. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or happened this way. When his mother Mary was espoused or betrothed or was the fiance, as it were, of Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Woo! Hallelujah. See, this is unique about Jesus. This Jesus we're talking about, his father was God. This Jesus we're talking about always existed as God. This Jesus we're talking about was from everlasting to everlasting. That's what Micah 5:2 says. It says, "Bethlehem of Judea, thou art not least amongst all the princes of Judea, for out of you shall come a governor, which shall rule my people Israel's, who going forth has been from everlasting to everlasting." Oh, hallelujah. Jesus comes along and he doesn't bring us a message. Jesus comes along and he is the message. He is the Word made flesh. He didn't bring us a word. He is the Word. He was the fulfillment of the Word. All those prophecies, all those words took on flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. All the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Finally, we've been graced. Finally, we've been favored. Finally, we got the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth about God. And we found out he loves us. We found out he's crazy about us. We find out he wants to forgive us of our sins. We found out that he made a way for us to go to heaven, and Jesus is that way. Jesus didn't show us the way. Jesus said, "I am the way." Mm-mm. Man, I got my knee. I had surgery on my knee. I'm feeling so good, I may start running. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, happened this way, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, and was minded to put her away privately." Oh, hallelujah, think about it. Here's Joseph. This is the couple that God chose to bring forth his son, to raise his son. Here's Joseph. He doesn't know what's going on. He just knows his wife has become pregnant. It's no secret how that happens. They weren't married at the time. He hasn't gone into her, and so he knows that this is not right. By the law, he could have stoned her, but he was a just man. See, justice goes beyond the law, actually. Mercy rejoices over justice. Thank God you and I didn't get justice. Thank God you and I didn't get what we deserved. Are you with me? We got mercy, and we got grace through Jesus Christ. We all deserved hell, but we didn't get it, because God loved us. Are you with me? And so him being a just man, you'd think, well, a just man would have turned her over and had her stoned. Well, you know, we have a case of a woman caught in adultery in the 8th chapter of John. They threw down before Jesus' feet and said, "The law says, stone her, what do you say?" You remember that? Here's Jesus saying, "Hey, he's without sin. Let him cast the first stone." And they walked out from the oldest to the youngest. And when they were all gone, he said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" She said, "There are none." He says, "Neither do I accuse thee. Go and sin no more." He didn't condone what she did. But God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. We often want people to get what's coming to them. We want revenge. "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. Thank God you didn't get what's coming to you. Are you out there? So him being a just man, he didn't want to put her away. He wanted to put her away privately and not have her stoned, because that's what the law said. And so that was his heart. He must have been a good man. We don't hear a lot about Joseph. He just kind of in the picture and he's just gone. You know, he starts out and he's gone. But I'm sure he was a good man. He was a compassionate man. and even in this case, before he had a visitation, before the angel appeared to him, he still was willing to do what was best for her, to give her a life and a destiny and a hope and a future. How much do we do that with other people, I wonder, that are maybe in sin? And we just don't believe in them. We don't encourage them. We don't help them. We don't reach out to them. We write them off. Thank God, God didn't write me off. Hallelujah. But and while he's doing this, it says, the 20th verse, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared. Aren't you glad for the angel of the Lord? Yes. Now, this is something you see all through the scripture, especially around Jesus' birth, is angelic activity. You know, heaven, when Jesus was born, heaven reached down and kissed the earth. And we got caught in the middle of the smack. That's what's so good. Amen. And it says here, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream and said, Joseph, you son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So we have his mother is Mary, his father is God. See, this solves a huge problem that we have being part of mankind. You know, our problem is not what we do. Our problem is who we are. And can a leper change his spots? The scripture says no. So how are we going to get out of this dilemma? We're all born in sin because we all were born through Adam. And in Adam all die. Yes. We need someone to save us from our sins, but every one of us are born in sin. So we never can find a man to die for our sins, a male without spot, without blemish. That's what their law required, wasn't it? Isn't that what they wanted, a lamb? They examined it for 3 days to make sure it had no blemishes and no spot. Well, now, what man is ever going to be born that's perfect and sinless when we're all born in sin? Well, a man that didn't take on Adam's sin would be that man. And the only way a man could be born and not take on Adam's sin is to have someone else as a father. God. So Jesus came into this earth and his father was God, so he had no sin. Oh, hallelujah, happy day. Are you with me? This is Emmanuel, God with us. This is the Word made flesh dwelling among us. This is the Holy Ghost overshadowing the Virgin Mary and her having a child who is conceived of the Holy Ghost and not conceived by man. We got now a man, a male, a spotless male, whom John the Baptist saw him. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Glory to God. And see, the way you get out of that dilemma of who you are is to be born again. You can't be good enough to go to heaven. You can't do enough good things to go to heaven. You can't go to enough churches to go to heaven. I mean, if sitting in a church would make you a Christian, then sitting in a garage would make you a car. You know, you've heard that saying. Now, we need to live holy, live right. I agree with all that. But I'm saved because I believe in Jesus Christ because I've been born again. I've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. I was lost because of who I was. I'm saved because of who I am. Salvation is a matter of being. It's not just action. It's not a matter of morality, although I do live moral and holy and should because I represent someone here. I'm a Christian, and there are things that are becoming to a Christian. Are you out there? But my actions are not works. My actions are fruits of who I am. You out there? Amen. So, Jesus is born by the Holy Ghost. His Father is God. He has no sin. He has no sin of the world in him. And it says here, 20th verse, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, you son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. No, you didn't get that. Even the name Jesus, it's Old Testament, Joshua, Hebrews, Yeshua. It means deliver, savior. That's what the name means. You know, Yeshua HaMashiach. I mean, we talk about Jesus. That name means savior. So when we think about this event, what it's about, we know who it's about, Jesus, but what's it about? Salvation. It is about being saved from our sins. I like this also. He doesn't just say save us from the consequence of our sins. He'll save us from our sins. Well, sure, it's quiet in here. Why y'all so quiet? Y'all need to amen me and help me out here a little bit here. Okay. Just get loud. It's okay. He saved me from my sins. Not just from the debt, not just from the consequences, not just from the wages. He saved me from my sin. I am not just forgiven. I have the ability to overcome my sin. I don't have to keep sinning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't have to live in sin. I can come out of sin. He saved me from my sins. Man, we have camp meet on that alone. That one verse right there, come on. So I don't know what you're hung up with. I don't know what you're addicted to. I don't know what you keep doing over and over and over. I got good news for you. You don't have to keep doing it. You're not just saved from the consequence, the penalty. You're saved from it.
Yes.
God will help you overcome it.
That's right.
Gates open. What are you doing in the prison? Mm-hmm. Amen? Okay. So he said, 22nd verse, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, and this is Isaiah 7:14, he's quoting Matthew. All through Matthew, he would say things, and then he would say, this was done that it might be fulfilled, and he would quote an Old Testament scripture, which is significant, and I've mentioned this already. Jesus came announced. He was pre-announced. They didn't pre-announce Moses. Nobody prophesied Buddha would show up, and nobody gave us declarations or foreshadowings of Muhammad. But Jesus, on the other hand, had hundreds of prophecies concerning him, down to the place where he's going to be born. So he wasn't a surprise in that respect. He was validated. He had credentials. I mean, if God's going to show up, how are we going to know? How are we going to know this is the guy that God sent? Well, God gave us hundreds of years, thousands of years of prophecies of people that he moved on to write things and record things so that when he showed up, you could match his driver's license to him. Are you with me? You could say, oh, yeah, that's him. He was born in Bethlehem. That's what it says, Micah 5:2. Y'all remember the wise men that came to look for Jesus? In fact, it's in Matthew, or the second chapter. They said, where is this king of the Jews to be born? We've seen his star in the east. And the scribes went and pulled out Micah 5:2. They quoted it to him. They said, well, Micah says he'll be born in Bethlehem. Thou, O Bethlehem, are not least among the princes of Judah. Out of thee shall come a governor, rule my people Israel, who's going forth, been from everlasting to everlasting. They said, okay, let's go. And they went. And those guys that told them in the scripture where he was going to be born didn't even go. His own people, the Jews, knew where the Messiah was going to be born. God had to get some Gentiles over here from the east to come over and worship him. He had to split heaven and send some angels down here to sing over him in Luke 2. Wow. My goodness. But it was all prophesied, amen? Pre-announced. And so it says here, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then, oh, I love that. I mean, I just spend so much time on each verse and never get through, because I got a lot of verses I want to get to. But you think about this, Emmanuel, God with us. You know, we had words about God. We had pictures of God. We had types and shadows of God. We had foreshadowings of God. We have symbols and signs and feasts and so on of God in the Old Testament. A little bit here, a little bit there, and here, a little there, a little. And people drew some stick figures and showed us, and people maybe filled it out a little bit better, maybe gave us a painting, and maybe even got down to basically a photograph. But when Jesus shows up, I mean, God shows up. Yeah. It's no longer a photo album. It's no longer stick figures. It's no longer a little bit here and a little bit there. It's no longer a symbol or a shadow or a type. It is the substance, the reality. It is the express image of God's person. God Almighty come down and was birthed in this earth, and we celebrate that this time of year. God visited his people. Jesus was not just another man. Jesus was not just another prophet. Jesus was not just another guide. Jesus was not just another person, another philosopher, another teacher. Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. And if you've seen him, you have seen God. And if you follow him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you watch him heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils, and you watch him walk the streets of Capernaum and the shores of Galilee and stop storms and forgive sinners and give to the poor and help and suffer and sign dying humanity, you see God Almighty. That's God. Nobody came any closer to that. No one was ever more explicit of who God was. He came to declare the Father to us, and what he declared to us is God is good. Amen. And he loves us, and he is crazy about us. We just need to get to him. We've got to come to Jesus. Amen. So, he prophesies, you know, he's fulfilling prophecy, Isaiah 7:14, 24th verse, then Joseph being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus, so named by the angels. You know, I love that. They didn't pick his name out. God did.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm reminded of Jacob, when Jacob was coming back from, you know, he'd gone up to Padanaram to Haran and married Leah and Rachel and had what we call the 12 tribes of Israel. On his way back down into the land of Canaan, the wife that he loved, Rachel, gave birth to Benjamin. And in childbirth, she died. And her handmaiden there was there with her and named him Benoni, which means son of sorrow. But Jacob says, no, his name shall not be Benoni. His name shall be Benjamin, which was son of my right hand. And I think what's significant there is no matter what anybody else calls you, you are who your father says you are. He called him not son of sorrow, but son of strength. And God himself named Jesus, and he called him Savior. Whew. God himself says some things about you. I don't know what everybody's been saying about you. I don't know what you've been saying about you, but you're who your father says you are. You need to find out what God says about you, amen? And that's who you are. In this case, he's the Savior. See, we didn't need another Moses, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. We didn't need another Buddha or Confucius. Goodness, we're confused enough. We sure didn't need another Muhammad. We needed a Savior to save us from our sins. And that's why he called him Savior. That's what the Bible says this event's about. This birth, this Christmas season that we celebrate, this birth of this child. We got a Savior. Turn to Luke 2. I'm going to go through some verses here and just look in the Scripture. What does the Scripture say? You know, when you say Merry Christmas, what does that mean to you? And we ought to all say Merry Christmas. Are you with me? It comes down to the roots of our faith, what we believe. I mean, the world can't tell us I can't say Merry Christmas. Are you kidding me? The world can't tell me not to say Merry Christmas. Hello. I am a Christian. That's what I am. Christmas is what started this whole process. I'm having trouble with something. Is that better? Good. Now just freeze. Don't move. Okay. We were kidding in the class about how people are getting upset because they don't like to hear Merry Christmas, and people are getting upset who say Merry Christmas because people are telling them they can't say Merry Christmas, and we're saying Merry Christmas, but we're about half mad about it. Somebody says Happy Holidays, we say Merry Christmas. Well, you know, we need to keep our attitude right. I found that practically everywhere I go, especially here in Texas, you say Merry Christmas, they say Merry Christmas back. Hallelujah. But by all means, let's do that. Let's just don't fall in that trap just saying Happy Holiday, you know. I mean, come on. I mean, I know that is a time of holidays, but this is Christmas. Can you imagine saying Happy Holidays on 4th of July or Happy Holidays at Thanksgiving? Or, you know, I want to say when somebody says that, which one? Happy holiday. Well, there's a lot of holidays. We have them all year long. Which one are we talking about here? Because we don't say that in any other holiday. We don't say it on any other holiday. It's Valentine's Day. Are you with me? 4th of July. It's Veterans Day. It's Morals Day. It's Thanksgiving. It's not happy holiday. It is a holiday, but it has a name. It's about something. It's Christmas. Amen. Okay. Luke 2. Notice what it says here. And there were in the, now this is after the birth of Christ. It already took place. If you read the first few verses there, Mary already gave birth to a child in a manger. It was the master in the manger. Hallelujah. It's the Messiah in the manger. It was the creator in the crib. It was the Christ in the crib. It was the Savior in the stable. Oh, I'm waxing eloquent. Woo. It was the Savior, not just a baby. It was the master. Yeah. Are you with me? Something had started, a process had started there that was going to end in our salvation. Oh, hallelujah. Second chapter, verse 8, Luke says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Wednesday we went in detail on this, and these most likely were temple shepherds. Temple shepherds were employed specifically to examine sheep used for sacrifice, and they were employed by the temple, and they actually worked all year long. They actually were with sheep and in their fields all year long. Sheep had to be raised in a certain area because they were unholy or unclean if they were raised in regions that weren't approved by the priesthood. And the temple flock was between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. It was only 5 miles from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. And there was a place called the Tower of the Flock. Migdal Eger is the name in the Hebrew. It's mentioned in the Old Testament twice. And that's most likely where they were. They were close enough to run to Bethlehem to see him. And they were out keeping their flocks at night. And who else would better examine the Lamb of God than the temple shepherds who examine the lambs that are sacrificed all year anyway? Are you with me? Just a little nugget. It's in there. It's in the scripture if you do enough digging. And we taught on that Wednesday. But it says that they were out keeping their country. They were in the country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And if you ever watched Charlie Brown's special, you know these verses. Linus always quotes them with a blanket in his hand. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, even you in Wills Point, Texas. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now think about it. His name means Savior. The angels announced him as the Savior. I mean, he could have said anything about him, but this is what the scripture says over and over and over and over and over. When we talk about this babe in the manger, we're talking about a Savior that come to save us from our sins. And we often, many times you'll hear kind of innocuous, just kind of lame, weak ideals or concepts of Jesus, and they'll say, isn't it great to have someone that lived such a good life for us to follow, or he had such good teaching, you know, for us to listen to. He was such a good man. At this time of year, it's about, the spirit of Christmas is giving. It's about goodness. Well, the spirit of Christmas is not giving per se. If it's anything, it's about God giving us a son. Yes, I agree with that. But there's no way you're ever going to outdo that one, okay? We give gifts to one another just as an example of it. But I'll tell you, nobody's ever going to outdo the Christmas gift that God gave us on the original Christmas and the only Christmas that ever really counted. Are you with me? And all the rest of us are just remembering and honoring and celebrating what took place 2,000 years ago when we had the best gift we ever, ever got or ever going to get. Hallelujah. And that gift was the gift of salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. We have a Savior and we are saved from our sins. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas. So, he says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Now notice, the angel did not say, for unto you is born this day a good man. And he did not say, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a good example for you to follow. Go run, see him, for unto you is born this day a guide to guide you along life's way. No, 1,000 times no. The angel said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Man, that's good. That's just better amen and, or preaching y'all are amen. And that's just good stuff. Amen. Yes. Turn to Galatians 4. Glory. And I'm just picking a few verses. I mean, we could just go weeks on just picking out verses that talk about Jesus being a Savior. You know, that's just so different than any other religious leader. Buddha's not a Savior. Muhammad's not a Savior. Hello. And I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination there's not some good and some moral teaching that you can glean from other religions. I think there's probably some good teaching in Buddhism about peace and, you know, calming down and chilling out and all and so on and so forth. But you still can't go to heaven through Buddhism. We're not saying as Christians that we believe everybody's wrong about everything they preach and everything they say. No. You know, a lot of the same things Jesus said, Buddha said. Did you know Plato said some things that Jesus said? The idea that do unto others as you'd have them do unto you is a universal law. All the philosophers said that. I mean, that's, you can find that in almost all religious writings. That wasn't really anything new. That was truth. Are you with me? But now one thing Plato never did, and Socrates never did, and Aristotle never did, and one thing Buddha never did, and Muhammad never did, and even Moses never did, and Confucius never did, and Hare Krishna never did. None of those guys ever died for your sins. None of those guys ever saved you. None of those guys was God in the flesh. Woo! So that kind of puts him in another category altogether, don't you think? Just a little. Galatians 4:4, notice what it says. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. That's what Christmas is about. The fullness of time had come. All those prophecies for 4,000 years leading up to the birth of Christ had come, had been consummated, had been fulfilled, and the timing had come. And when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. It's significant that he doesn't say born of a man. He was born of a woman. His father was God. Are you with me? Made of a woman, made under the law. He came legally. He came to fulfill all the prophecies. But his purpose was, fifth verse, to redeem them. To redeem them that were under the law. This is his intent. This is his purpose. This is his calling. This was his mission. He came to die for you and for me. He came to pay the price. That's what Christmas is about. It's about a price paid. it's about getting to heaven and getting a receipt for your sins instead of a invoice. It's going to say paid in full. It's not going to say here's what you owe. Aren't you glad? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, that we become the actual children of the living God. And because you are sons or daughters, children, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. What happened at Christmas, what took place and what started at that Christmas morning, that holy night, was we went from slavery to freedom. We went from being lost to being saved. A process was started right there that would end in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when he rose from the dead, he came out of there with the keys of hell and death, Lord of lords and King of kings, and saved you from your sins. Hallelujah. Glory. 1 Timothy. This helping anybody? Notice what it says. This is why God sent us his son Jesus, to redeem us, to redeem us. In fact, I'm thinking of the word redeem, Galatians 3. That was Galatians 4. Don't turn there. 1 Timothy 1:15, turn there. But in Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for cursed is everyone, it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, Wills Pointites, Edgewoodites, Terrellites, are you with me? Elmoites, yeah. Frogites, there's a frog community out there too. But it says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. How? Through being redeemed by Christ because of Christmas. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul goes on and says, of whom I am chief. He needed it just like everybody else did. Amen. So why do we celebrate? Not just who we celebrate. Why do we celebrate? Not just who we celebrate. What do we celebrate? What does Christmas mean? Well, it means that we're saved. It means we have a Savior. Because before Christmas, we didn't have one. We weren't redeemed. We weren't paid for. We had an invoice that wasn't paid. We had a debt that we couldn't pay. And so, you know, when we're passing our gifts out, one more verse, I got to turn it over. I'm going to let you out early today, incidentally. It's Christmas.
Amen.
Wow. Turn to 1 John. Man, good stuff, amen.
Yes.
You know, I think about this. The problem, I think, with holidays, if there is a problem with holidays, is that they're made for us to remember events, but we tend to forget the event because of the celebrating. I mean, you know, 4th of July comes around, and all we think about is hot dogs and homemade ice cream, and we forget the founding of our nation, you know. And we forget sometimes Thanksgiving is all about turkey and ham and all those things, and we don't stop and thank God. You know, it was a holiday to thank God that we'd survived, the pilgrims survived, and when we started this nation, they moved over and ran from religious persecution, the pilgrims did, and they survived. Several of them died, but a lot of them survived, and they were thanking God at a Thanksgiving service. We forget that sometimes, you know. Christmas comes along, and all we can think about is trying to coordinate all of our families so we can all get together and open gifts at the same time. Hello, I'm there. I mean, we're there too. We've got kids that are, you know, they got in-laws and outlaws, and that's just the reality of it. It's impossible this day and age, if you have a lot of kids and grandkids like we do, it's impossible to pick one day and say, okay, we're all going to meet Christmas Day. It just doesn't happen that way. They've got in-laws, and I understand that. That's good. That's fine. Thank God we get together. But sometimes we forget that Christmas is not just about putting all the trees up and all the lights up, and which we do, and we ought to celebrate. I think any time of year we should celebrate, it should be this time of year. But we're celebrating something.
Yes.
Amen? We're celebrating our salvation. Hallelujah. And all the symbolism that's there, he's the light of the world, you know, the Christmas lights and all those presents that we give. He gave us the gift of eternal life through the gift of his son. And it all has meaning. It has meaning to it. Let's don't forget the meaning. Amen? Let's don't forget what this is all about. 1 John 4, notice what it says. It says, and we have seen, 4:14, excuse me, 1 John 4, verse 14. It says, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Y'all see that? There's only one reason Jesus came into this world. There's only one reason for the old manger scene. When you think of it, I think of those three terms, the Messiah, that's Old Testament Savior, the Christ, that's New Testament, same thing, Messiah. And then, of course, just the word Savior. And I kind of like to think of it this way. I said it before. That was the Messiah in the manger. That was the Christ in the crib. That was the Savior in the stable. And so what we celebrate and what we gather around and give our gifts to each other about is, thank God, I got a Savior. And when we say Merry Christmas, it should take on some meaning. Amen. When we say Merry Christmas to each other, we're saying we got a Savior. We got a Savior. Merry Christmas. Shh. Merry Christmas. You don't have to go to hell. Merry Christmas. You don't have to live in hell. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men of goodwill. See, behold, I bring you good tidings, great tidings, joy, great joy. What? What's joyful? What's about Christmas? See, we get all mixed up in Christmas. We get mad, upset. We get a Christmas card. We didn't have them on the list. We got to go back now and send them a card. We get so wrapped up in the mechanics of it. You know, we got a gift. Oh, we didn't give them a gift, and they gave us a bigger gift, and we gave them a gift. And you know, we get so, our white Christmas turned blue. You know, it's the post-holiday blues is what it is. And we have these unreal expectations. You know, we're going to get with our family, everything's going to be fine. And sure enough, there's an argument that takes place, you know, and then we think, bless God, I'm not going back over next year. You know, we realize that we're all people, we're all humans, we're all in this thing together. Christmas is a wonderful time to get together and give gifts and write cards, and we should do all that. But it's more than all that. Come on. If you want some real solid concrete expectations, then you can stand on this fact that you and I are going to go to heaven because of Christmas. And that will never be, you'll never be disappointed in that if your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. That's a gift that the world can't take away because the world didn't give it. The world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. and they can cast any law they want to, and they can say anything they want to about Christmas, but as far as I know, I have had my Christmas. I had my first real Christmas 39 years ago after I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I finally received the gift. It was laying under the tree wrapped up with a bow on it all those years until I accepted Jesus. That's when I tore the wrappings off of it, and I reached in there, and I got saved. Woo! And it's been a party ever since. I've been having Christmas ever since. I've had that life. That life has lasted me. That gift has never wore out. They're never coming out with an approved model. It doesn't have to have a warranty on it because it lasts forever. Hallelujah. Never had to repair it. Never had to fix it. Never had to fix it up. I got saved and I'm still saved. I found out what Christmas is about. It's about salvation. It's about being saved. So if I could wish you anything today in closing, I'd wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. Amen. Hallelujah. And rejoice in it and stand in it. And let's have a great time this year and getting together with everybody and just keep our focus and our eyes on the prize. Amen.